Kitty Kelly is this week's guest on Turning Point with Frank McKay. Kitty is no stranger to professional adversity. Kelly is the author of a handful of best-selling unauthorized biographies. The all-iconic list includes Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis, Elizabeth Taylor, Frank Sinatra, Nancy Reagan, the British Royal Family, the Bush Family, and Oprah Winfrey. Frank recently spoke to the one journalist who no celebrity wants to be the subject of. Let's listen.
And now, Turning Point with Frank McKay.
Welcome to Turning Point. Our very special guest today is author, biographer, Kitty Kelly. Kitty, how are you?
Oh, Frank, I'm fine. How are you?
Doing good. Are you on the West Coast or the East Coast?
I'm talking to you on the East Coast.
You are?
Yes.
Can we jump right into it? Can we talk about your new book?
Oh, absolutely.
Tell us. Let's hear it from the horse. Well, I don't want to say that those words.
No, you're right. If you could see me, you're right. Here we go from the horse's mouth. In fact, my father used to always laugh and say, Kitty weighs 3 pounds less than a horse.
No, he did not.
I have a new book out, Frank, and it's called Capturing Camelot, Stanley Treadick's Iconic Images of the Kennedys. And what it is, Stanley Treadick was one of President Kennedy's favorite photographers. And I took care of Stanley in the last few years of his life, and he left me his photo archive. And in that photo archive was about 35,000 of his pictures of the Kennedys. And Stanley was best known probably for that iconic shot of John Jr. playing under his father's desk in the Oval Office.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
So that's what this book is. This year is the 50th anniversary of the Kennedy administration, so I thought it was a perfect time to bring out this book and to use Stanley's letters and diaries and the letters he received from the Kennedys as a way to write an essay wrapped around these photographs. So that's what this book is all about. It's photographs that 70% of which you've never seen. It's pictures, maybe 250 pictures of President Kennedy, of his children, of Jackie, of their time in the White House, their time at their homes in Cape Cod and in Virginia. And then the last part of the book, after the president's assassination, Stanley was very, very close to Bobby Kennedy, and he followed Bobby Kennedy every day of his presidential campaign in 1968 until the assassination. So that is what the book's about.
Amazing. Well, it is a departure because you're working with somebody outside of the family, but you've done a lot of unauthorized biographies.
That's the only kind of biography I really write, Frank.
Yeah.
In the past, it's interesting, though, the very first biography I ever did was Jackie O. So the Kennedys have been of interest to me for many, many years, but I do write what they call an unauthorized biography, usually about someone who's very much alive, very powerful, and has had quite an impact on our culture. I don't just write any old celebrity biography. It has to be someone that I really care about and someone that I feel has influenced American culture. Someone like Oprah or Frank Sinatra or the Bush family.
Ronald Reagan,
absolutely. And the Kennedys. And even if you're Republican, you'll look at these pictures not in a partisan political way, but because they're really history. And this book is, it's a love letter, really, to history, to a time that doesn't exist anymore.
We are with Kitty Kelly, author and biographer extraordinaire, Kitty Kelly. You mentioned Jackie O. What was Jackie O's reaction to your book?
Her reaction was the reaction she's had to all books, which she never, ever acknowledged any book. She was so stung by the authorized biography that she had authorized by William Manchester to write about the death of the president. And she was so angry at some of the things he put in the book and she was angry that he profited from the book, that she sued him. Mm. And since that time, again, she never, ever responded to any book written about her or about the family.
This is a woman who worked in the publishing industry after her husband.
That's very true. She took real umbrage at people who had known her and her husband, and then wrote a book about them and profited in some way. She just really couldn't bear that. She never spoke to the photographer Mark Shaw. Again, she never spoke to Kennedy's Navy buddy, Red Fay. Mm. She never again spoke to Ben Bradley after he wrote his book. She just was incensed about people who might profit from their relationship with the Kennedys. And I have to say, on this book, I received these photographs as a gift from someone, and I inherited them, and there will be no profit to me from this book. Anything that is made on this book will go to the D.C. Public Libraries, because Stanley lived in Washington, D.C. I live in Washington, D.C. So...
That's wonderful.
You know, there won't be a profit here.
And we're speaking with the wonderful Kitty Kelly, the legendary biographer, Kitty Kelly. What was Oprah's reaction to your book?
Ooh, withering. Mm. Withering. She was not pleased at all. And she wasn't pleased because, I don't think, and I was going to say she didn't take issue with anything, but she really did. She didn't like the fact that her father had sat down and given me a long interview. She didn't like certain facts revealed, particularly about the married man that she'd fallen in love with in Baltimore. But you have to understand that Oprah is so successful because she does control her career and her life, and she wasn't in control of this book, so I can't say that she was really pleased with it. I was pleased with it, though, because it was very, very balanced, I think extraordinarily fair, and fascinating, because her life is fascinating.
What was the most shocking thing you think came out of the Oprah biography?
Probably not so much the sexual abuse that she suffered as a child, but the fact that she ran the streets and sold herself for sex at a very young age. But you can really understand that. It's kind of a pattern. How do I say that? She didn't like that because that goes against the Oprah image now. But as she herself says, you know, you do what you have to do at the time, and when you know better, you do better.
Turning Point with Frank McKay returns right after this. Welcome back to Turning Point with Frank McKay.
Kitty Kelly is our special guest today, biographer Kitty Kelly. Speaking on that, and let's just follow up on that, is that something that she never revealed and you revealed it for the first time?
Yes. Yes, it is. It's, for instance, when I wrote the book on Jackie O back in 1978, I found out that the Kennedy family had a prefrontal lobotomy performed on their mentally challenged child, Rosemary. Mm-hmm. And she was put into a convent school and taken care of by the sisters for the rest of her life. Now, I reported that for the first time in 1978. I didn't do it in an exploitive way, really. I did it to show the Kennedy family's commitment to mental health. And their sister Eunice Shriver started the Special Olympics, and it really grew out of what had happened to their sister Rosemary.
It's considered a fact. I mean, it's accepted as a fact.
Yes, it is now. It is now, and you know something. There's a recent biography out on Joseph P. Kennedy, and that operation was not a success. And both Kennedys, the parents, Rose and Joe, never saw their daughter again after they put her in a home. And they just felt that it was better for them. They felt that it was better for her. And she's still alive, and she's living with the sisters at St. Coletta in Wisconsin.
It's amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
Amazing. But I saw a documentary on the Kennedys a while back, and they brought up that fact, and I didn't realize that you were the one who uncovered that.
I did in 1978, yeah.
And you uncovered, again, we just spoke about Oprah Winfrey, actually, prostituting herself is what you, technically, literally prostituting herself.
That's right.
Now, what did she deny that?
No, she didn't deny it. Didn't deny it at all.
Is there a feeling of vindication at your level? You've been doing this for many, many years. But is there still a feeling of vindication when you come up with something like that, you discover something like that, and the subject doesn't deny it?
Not vindication so much. I could never publish something like that, Frank, unless I had it documented every which way to Sunday, because my books go through a real legal vetting, and I've got to have tape recordings, photographs, letters, notes, everything. In fact, when I did the Frank Sinatra book in 1986, I had an interview with Frank Sinatra Jr., and in that interview, he started to tell me what he knew happened to Jimmy Hoffa. And when the book came out, Frank Sinatra Jr. denied speaking to me, denied ever giving me an interview. But I happened to be with the photographer, Stanley Tredick, who had taken a picture of me interviewing Sinatra Jr. And that was vindication.
What did
because
he say happened?
Then after Sinatra denied giving the interview, Stanley surfaced the picture, and that proved that I did indeed do the interview.
Again, we are with Kitty Kelly. Kitty, what did he say happened to Jimmy Hoffa?
Well, that was the very funny thing. Just as he started to tell me, and he leaned over, and this story, by the way, is in this photo book because Stanley was responsible for what happened next. Just as he leaned over to say, "Hun, I know what happened to Jimmy Hoffa," Stanley threw his cameras on the floor and slammed himself into the couch and said, "Well, man, what was it? What happened to Hoffa?" And at that point, Frank Sinatra Jr. ran out of the room, locked himself in the bedroom, and wouldn't come out.
Mm.
And his publicist said, "All right, that's it. The interview's over. You're out. You're out." And Stanley picked up his cameras and started. I just begged to finish the interview. I said, "Please, please, please." Nope, that was it. And the reason the story is in there in this book, Capturing Camelot, is because I was trying to tell the reader what Stanley was like. And at that particular point, I would have easily done time for killing him. I was so mad at him.
What is the reaction of people around Oprah? I'm sure you have many celebrity friends and all types of people. When Oprah gets angry, does her circle of friends either get angry or pretend to get angry with you?
Yes. Yes, they do. As a matter of fact, when I was promoting the book, Barbara Walters refused to have me on The View because she didn't want to upset Oprah. And the same thing with Larry King. So there was celebrity blowback on that book.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine she's a very powerful woman.
Very.
Is she a vindictive woman?
I don't think so. I think that she was probably pleased that her friends didn't have me on their shows, but I don't think she's vindictive in that she is so powerful and so wealthy. she really isn't threatened by many people at all. So it doesn't have to be vindictive.
How did that book sell?
Oh, Frank, it was wonderful. It was number one on the New York Times bestseller list.
Oh, it must have killed her, looking at that and hearing about that. And you know, her with the Oprah Book Club watching and hearing about something.
Well, that was one thing. I did not get on the Oprah Book Club.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Has any of your biographies got on the Oprah Book
Club? No, but they have all been number one on the New York Times bestseller list. So there's some pleasure in that.
Let me ask you, have you ever been on Oprah's show?
I was on her show when she was in Baltimore.
And what was she interviewing you about, Reagan?
You know, this is so fascinating because it, again, comes back to the Kennedys. She didn't do the interview with me. Her co-host did. He was a man, and we had a very interesting interview, and he bounded back on the set. And he said, that was just great. And Oprah said, I don't like books like that at all. I just don't. She wrote a book about my relatives, and they didn't like it. And I was sitting there with the producer, and I said, I haven't written a book about Oprah's relatives. What's she talking about? And the producer said, she's very close to Maria Shriver, and she considers herself a member of the Kennedy family. Mm. And she's talking about Jackie O.
It's amazing. It's amazing that she would say that. But you were on her show, and, well, on her early version of her show.
Right, in her first talk show.
Yeah, so, I mean, well, you could make the argument that she's sticking to her guns.
Indeed,
yeah.
And she loved the Kennedys, and she really did consider herself a member of the family, I guess. And but that was amazing to have her say that.
Who, other than who you've written about, is considered sacred out there?
I don't know now. I mean,
Princess Di?
I wrote a book called The Royals, about the British royal family, and a great deal of the book deals with Princess Diana.
After she was dead or before she was dead?
Do you know that that book came out 2 weeks after her death?
But it was written, you wrote it before.
Oh, yes. Yeah. You know, Frank, that's one thing. These books take me so long. They take about 4 years because you've got to interview 850 people minimum.
Wow.
To try and get the story from all points of view.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. What a methodology.
Yeah, and you know something? It's sort of like going to college to write these books. Now, this particular book, the one that I just did with the photographs, that didn't take as long because there's not as much writing involved. But I did spend a lot of time curating the photographs, to go through 35,000 images and bring it down to about 200 pictures in the book. Took a while.
That's amazing.
But I must say it was really a pleasant chore because Stanley's photographs of the Kennedys are so enchanting that you just find yourself pretty soon 4 hours has gone by. It's just so easy to do it because the pictures are so lovely.
I can't imagine what these people, and every one of these people that you have written about, that you've had these famous unauthorized biographies on, and again, we're speaking with Kitty Kelly, all of these people are highly guarded and you know, in some sense, a control freak, where their careers are very controlled. And I imagine when it gets out that Kitty Kelly is writing a book on you, that your life changes, and maybe you even clamp down on people close to you. You start maybe shredding documents, or I don't know.
You know
what
something? I think probably the most effective person was Frank Sinatra. When he found out I was writing about him, he sued me before I'd even written a word.
Mm.
And that was sort of his way of sending a press release to the world that he didn't want the book written. I just kept going. I kept writing, but I thought that was really a most effective way.
Is this someone or something that you wouldn't touch? For example, a pope? Would you write about the pope? Would you write about the Catholic Church?
Yes, I would. I absolutely would. And would try to do it, I mean, would do it in a fair way. But I don't know how you'd tell the story. You'd have to be specific, because a biography, you can center a lot of history around one figure. And the people that I have written about have all been alive, and they've influenced us in some way. Now, this isn't just, I mean, I do think the Catholic Church and I do think the popes have influenced us in certain ways, especially those of us who grew up Catholic, which I did.
I was a former altar boy.
Oh, were you?
Right. But I was a rambunctious type, so I wasn't touched by any of the, you know, the bad priest or the molesting priest.
It's quite a scandal. That in itself is a scandal, but the cover-up is absolutely despicable.
It's unbelievable. It's the reason I'm not a Catholic at this point, or my children aren't being raised a Catholic. But it's amazing.
Now, you know, speaking of being Catholic and Irish Catholic, when Kennedy ran, he told Stanley took the exclusive pictures of the baptism of John Jr., and Kennedy did not want photographs of himself taken in the church. He said, take these pictures against a blank wall. In other words, he didn't want the baptismal font or the statue of the Blessed Virgin or anything, because being an Irish Catholic back in 1960, and remember, he was the first Irish Catholic elected to the presidency. So religion was very much an issue at that time, and he felt sensitive about it.
Turning Point with Frank McKay returns right after this. Welcome back to Turning Point with Frank McKay.
Did you ever in your career, with all these powerful people not wanting their biographies, especially written by Kitty Kelly, have you ever in your career felt that your life was threatened?
Yes. And you're going to be surprised when it was. It wasn't on the Sinatra book. In fact, I had friends very close to Sinatra who said, he has said himself that he hopes nothing happens to you, because if anything does happen to you, he'll be the first one blamed.
Right.
But the publisher, when I wrote the book on Nancy Reagan, my publisher was Simon & Schuster, and they got some threatening calls. And they provided bodyguards for about the first 2 or 3 weeks on that book, provided me with bodyguards. I didn't really know it until about the second week I realized that I had been given security, and I asked the publisher, and they said yes. That was the only book in which there was real serious concern.
Our guest is biographer Kitty Kelly, legendary biographer Kitty Kelly. Kitty, what was the turning point in your career, or if you prefer, what was the turning point in your life?
Well, a turning point in my life was getting married 20 years ago to a wonderful guy, and another turning point was losing him to a sudden death about 9 months ago. That was a turning point for me. And this book that I put together to sort of honor my friendship with Stanley Tredick, and to certainly honor his relationship with the president and the Kennedy family, has been a turning point. It was a different kind of book for me, and I enjoyed doing it so much that I've gone through Stanley's photographs, and I have a book coming out next year which will honor the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington, which was really the crescendo of the civil rights movement in this country. And Stanley covered the march, and there will be about 250 pictures in that book, which have never been published before.
Mm. Where do people go to follow you? Obviously, you're in every bookstore, you know, all the Amazons and all the Barnes
and
Nobles.
I so hope that this will make a wonderful gift that people will feel proud to give, because they're going to be giving a little bit of history when they buy this book, and they can be assured that there won't be profit in it. Not that profit is a bad thing, but
no.
It's a pleasure, really, to be able to give to the D.C. public libraries. Our school system in Washington, D.C. is not the best, and I will do anything I can to help the libraries, which are being renovated in Washington. And I really do think a library can be a salvation for someone.
There's no question about it. You're giving back, and profit is not a bad thing. All your subjects made a great deal of profit off of their careers, so why shouldn't you? And that's wonderful that you are giving back to the D.C. Library. It's a great cause. Kitty Kelly has been our special guest. Kitty, thank you very much for being here. It's always an honor to speak to somebody who's great at what they do.
Frank, thank you very much.
Kitty Kelly has been our special guest, the legendary biographer Kitty Kelly, and please get her book. And again, Kitty, the name of the book is?
Capturing Camelot.
It's
a coffee table book. And there's a fabulous picture of President Kennedy on the front holding his little boy's hand walking in the east wing of the White House.
Wonderful. Kitty Kelly, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Turning Point with Frank McKay is brought to you by Herman Katz, Ken Jenny, and Klein, Duffy and Duffy, and Gold Coast Bank. Turning Point with Frank McKay was produced by Out of the Box Studios in Bohemia, New York. Executive producers Frank McKay and Harry Oates. Director of Operations Corey Arnold. Audio and Studio Engineering Francis Kazmarek and James DeZigo of Sage Studios. Webmaster Eric Soule. Radio segment producer James DeZigo. Hotel and accommodations provided by Ohiga Castle Hotel and Estates in Huntington, New York. Transportation services provided by Mark of Elegance Limousine in Hop Hog, New York. Catering services provided by Windows on the Lake in Ronkonkoma, New York.